Hello, can you hear me? Hello, good. Not yet, no. Oh, I thought I just dropped my mic. Right, sorry, well, I'm just getting myself sorted. I'm going to put that on the table, actually, it's going to be easier, I think. I'm unmuted down here as well. I'm on lapel 2, if that helps. Let me just move. Oh, yeah. I've lost, there's no pin in this either. Let me pull it up a little. The pin's come out, I just need to make it a little bit taller. I'm not quite that short to have it all the way down that way. Without having said that, I've now made it too tall. This is not being recorded yet, is it? That's good. How am I? Am I loud enough?
Yes.
Yes. Excellent. Right. Good evening, everybody.
Good evening.
Thank you for very much all coming along tonight. I am going to start by reading the gospel reading from the lectionary. I almost called it liturgy. I got that confused the other day. So. From the lectionary, which is from John 14, verses 23 to 29. Jesus replied, "Anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. My Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. Anyone who does not love me will not obey my teaching. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me. All this I have spoken while still with you. But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. You heard me say, 'I am going away, and I am coming back to you.' If you loved me, you would be glad that I am going to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. I have told you now before it happens, so that when it does happen, you will believe." This is the gospel of Christ. Right, praise Christ our Lord. It's always easier with the other one, isn't it? This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Yes, we all know that one a lot. Good evening. So this evening, or last month, we were looking at the subject of peace. Next month, in June, we're looking at the subject of joy. And this month, we are looking at love. So it's very nice that the reading that was scheduled for today mentions love a couple of times. So I will be referring to it, but I will be also going through and mentioning quite a lot of other Bible verses about love. Because as you can imagine, the Bible says a lot about love. So I'll try and go succinctly through. This is also the fourth talk on love as well, so hopefully I'll be saying some new things from previous weeks. But each of these subjects are very, very important, and particularly love. So even if I do repeat what other people have said, it's still important. And to start with, I'm going to quote one of the famous Beatles songs. It said, "All you need is a love," isn't it? We all know that one. And at the end of the chorusy bit, they say, "Love is all you need," just to reframe of it. And Burke Bacharach also sings, "What the world needs now is love, sweet love." There you go. So both of these songs, it might seem fairly simplistic. You know, that's all you need. You just need love. You don't need anything else, just need love. But I think that they are both right. Because God created us to love and to be loved. It is part of who we are. And we can see the effects in the world when love is lacking. You know, you just open a newspaper and it's full of places. Sadness, destruction, hurt and pain, because there isn't love there. So we've got wars, we have threats of wars, you know, breakdown in relationships and families, people moving from person to person, trying to connect and feel their worth, seeking their identity, looking for love. We have so many TV programs and films have a love story, like little sideline, even if it's not the main, if it's not a rom-com and it's not the main subject. It's still kind of fitted in there in other films and stuff as well. There are numerous TV shows, such as Love Island, where it's just people looking for love is being focused on, and people's lives are used to create entertainment for others. And Jeremy Kyle's show has just been banned from TV this week following the death of somebody who appeared on the programme. And I wonder how many of those who have been on Jeremy Kyle and other similar shows have been looking for love and often acceptance as well, for maybe a partner, a friend, a parent, a child. How many have been hurt so much by a lack of love, being unwanted, rejected, betrayed? It's essentially what the show is about, isn't it? Is you're looking at people's kind of brokenness and their broken relationships and kind of lifting up as entertainment. And I think that most of the people there, it's affected because there is a lack of love. And even issues in the world, such as equality with the rich-poor divide, I think you could probably make an argument that that is there is because of a lack of love as well. That big companies, especially, are so concerned over their own interests and making as much money as possible that maybe they don't pay people well, they don't give good benefits or pass on their goods and services to make a difference for others. So it's about their love of money rather than love of the world. So they get richer and richer, and you get people who are even in full-time employment that they can't make ends meet because they don't have that, because it just goes to service the companies. And also over the last few years, or maybe a bit further than that back now, there's been lots in the news about big companies such as Amazon, Google, Starbucks, for instance, as well as famous celebrities who are using legal loopholes to pay less tax than they should. So again, they are seeking their own interests rather than loving those around them. So I think what the world really does need is love. Because we can see the effects when love is missing. The brokenness that is in the world. The hurt and the pain that comes through because there is no love, or love has been abused and misused. And love is so very important. And love isn't something that's just, oh, it's all airy-fairy and everything's nice and it's all wonderful and da-da-da-da-da. It's really, really not, because love is strong and powerful and bold. It takes a stand. It can put you in harm's way to protect others. And love really takes sacrifice. And it isn't easy to keep on loving, is it? In fact, loving others and loving unconditionally is actually very hard. But this is the way that God loves us. And I am so very glad. We had some amazing songs sung earlier. Thank you very much, Sanger team. It's lovely. But we sang Reckless Love, didn't we? Just talking about the love that God has. I know a few people in Christian circles sometimes a bit unsure, but like, how can you call God's love reckless? But basically, what the love that he offers is reckless, because, you know, so often it's easy to kind of give love when you know that you're going to get it back. But to give love away and knowing that people can turn away from you and reject you and have nothing to want to do with you is a really reckless thing to do. But that is what God has done. And our Bible story in junior church this morning describes God's love as never stopping, never giving up, always and forever love, which I think is such a good description. Because God loves us completely and utterly. Nothing can ever separate us from his love. In fact, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. This is declared by Paul in Romans 5, verse 8. If we read a few verses earlier, Paul explains so well why this is so amazing. I think it might be the first one to come up. There you go. Yeah, I could just about read that. You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, Though for a good person, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And this love isn't just reserved for us as Christians. Rather, as we know, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son. That's a very, very big so, isn't it? He loved the world, the whole world, so much that he gave his son. It's not on there, but if you read later to verse 17, it tells us that Jesus didn't come to condemn the world, but to save it. So he hasn't come in judgment. He hasn't come to condemn us and show us the things that we've done wrong. He's come to save it because he loves us so much. And John 15 verse 13 declares, greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. And that is a love that Jesus has showed. And that is a love that we are talking about. So it's a big, it's a strong, powerful love, isn't it? Loving others, not just when they are loving and kind to us, but loving others when they don't deserve it. In fact, Jesus tells us to love our enemies and pray for those who persecute you. That's in Matthew 5:44. And I think we're very fortunate that actually we don't suffer much persecution in this country for being a Christian, unlike many other nations around the world. And I think if we think back as well to the early church and the persecution that they faced, when the Gospels were being written and then passed around, how would people have responded to this? Jesus telling them to pray for those who persecute them and to love their enemies. Particularly those first Jewish believers who thought the Messiah was coming to overthrow the Roman Empire and establish a Jewish rule again. That was a very kind of key thought that they thought. Yeah, that makes sense. Instead, they are told to pray for those who persecute them. That is a very tough command to follow. Yet, it has impact in ways that we may not realise. Just think of the power that our prayers carry. Now, St. Paul, we're in St. Paul's Church here as well. When we first encounter him in the Bible, he is persecuting the early believers. He's witnessed Stephen's martyrdom, but then he encounters Jesus himself and is used by God to spread the gospel exponentially. His letters become a foundational part of the New Testament and contain so much truth, teaching and theology that we can learn from and benefit from today. And I wonder if some of the disciples remembered what Jesus had told them and prayed for Paul, even if not by name. But he went by somebody who was persecuting the church to somebody who spread the gospel probably further than any of the others at the very start and started so many churches, and we use his teaching so much now. So what can be a hard but simple prayer can have kind of life-changing impact. And we can have that same impact when we pray for those who persecute us, when we love our enemies, when we love those people who get under our skin or never seem to listen to us, those people who always seem to wind us up intentionally or maybe even seek to bring us down, those people who have really hurt us, betrayed our trust and love. It's really not easy, but there is something really powerful when we love people in spite of what they do to us. And so I said we'll talk a little bit about the gospel reading. So we're going to go back to John 14, verse 23-24. Jesus replied, "Anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. My Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. Anyone who does not love me will not obey my teaching. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me. So Jesus says if we love him, we will obey his teaching. And I wonder, what is Jesus' teaching? Well, if we skip forward a chapter to John 15, verse 9 to 17, it will come up in two stages. We've already heard from verse 13 from this, but I'll start reading. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I have learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you, and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit. Fruit that will last, and so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. This is my command: love each other. It's another amazing passage talking about love. The bit just before this is talking about being in the vine, Jesus being the vine, and we remaining in the vine. And we are told twice in this verse, in these few verses, what Jesus' command is. And that is to love each other. Love each other as Jesus has loved us. And the whole law itself is summed up in two commandments. These are to love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. And the second is to love your neighbour as yourself. I think it might be on the PowerPoint. There you go. So Jesus tells us to obey his teaching. And I think his teaching is to love. That's his command. That is how is a law is summed up. There you go. I can't read it properly. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. That's a loving God and loving others. And that is where all the rest of the law fits. And this really shouldn't surprise us, for God himself is a love. We've got another bit from 1 John. And it says, "Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is made complete in us." That is truly amazing, isn't it? That when we love others, we are showing them God. And it can also seem quite overwhelming. When I was looking through this and preparing, just the amount of times that God is telling us to love people, loving our enemies, you know, praying for the whole world, that when the things that we do, we're showing God's love to each other, and it can seem kind of quite a lot, and it can seem quite overwhelming. But the really good thing is that we are not doing this in our own strength. For if we skip back to John 14, it's not on the PowerPoint. It says, "But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you." Jesus then continues and declares, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." So it's through the Holy Spirit that we love. He teaches us all things, so he will teach us to love. And we have his peace with us. It says, "Do not let your hearts be troubled." And I think there are lots of things that can make our hearts be troubled. And one of those, I think, is when we sometimes maybe quite toughen ourselves or berate ourselves for when we should have done this or we shouldn't have done that and all those things by thinking that we're not good enough or that we got it wrong. But that is not what God says to us. He says, don't be troubled. We've got his peace. He comes... And he declares over who we are. He came to love the world and not condemn the world. We are free from condemnation and we need to love ourselves too. When we're talking about the commandments, it says love your neighbour as yourself. So we need to know how to love ourselves if we're going to love our neighbour. We can't do a very good job loving them if we don't love ourselves and if we don't accept God's love as well. Because it's in God's love that we know our true identity. It's what we were created for. God created us to know him and to be loved by him and for us to love him back. It is a perfect love. It's a love that is never ever going to let us down. You know, we can trust it completely. It's a love that gives us everything that we need, all that comfort, you know. Even if whatever we go through, when we go through hard times, we can always turn to God, even if we're cross with him about things happening, that we still get that comfort from him. We still have that true love, that we are sons and daughters of the King, that we are seated in heavenly places, that we are beautiful and precious. We are his treasured possession. All of these things we reveal when we know God's love, when we accept all of his love. And our identity is all of those things and to become more and more like God. Because the more intimate we are with him, the more we can become alike him. And as I said, we're not left to do this by ourselves because we have the Holy Spirit in us. I love it from the John passage. It says, "You're going to come and make our home with them." Who would like to make their home, have God make their home with you? That's amazing, isn't it? And that we are filled with the Spirit of God. So we can then do the same things that God can do. Because we have his Spirit inside us. And we have all the wonderful fruit of the Spirit. Does anybody know what all the fruit of the Spirit are? Would you like to shout out? I'll have some audience participation now. Yes, yes, they were all there. I think it's goodness and gentleness, always a little bit, they're not similar, but they seem a little bit similar. So that they are the wonderful fruit of the Spirit. And when we have the Spirit with us, we start producing more of that fruit, don't we? And Dennis Chappell gave me this good photocopy of a Bible reading plan he was reading this week. And it's all about love. And it has this great quote. It says, "The first fruit of the Spirit is love. Love is the chief distinguishing mark of God's children." And this Bible reading study goes on to compare the fruit of the Spirit with 1 Corinthians 13, which is a famous chapter on love. Quite often gets read at weddings. But 1 Corinthians 13 is really, when you look at it in the wider context of the whole letter to the Corinthians, you've got chapter 12 and chapter 14, obviously either side, and they are talking about spiritual gifts and being part of a body and all of that, and it's all kind of talking about these different gifts that the Spirit brings. And then right in the middle, you get this passage all about love. And it starts by this, saying, "If I speak in tongues of men or of angels, but I do not have love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains, but do not have a love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing." So it really just focuses on the importance of love. And then it goes along to compare the next section. I've just lost my line where it was. It says, "Every other fruit proceeds from this first fruit of a love." It says, so all the fruit of the Spirit mentioned in Galatians 5 is linked somewhere with this quality of supernatural love. Either directly or by the use of synonyms, each of them is mentioned. So if we have the next bit up, you can see in brackets where the different parts of the love fits in, all the fruits of the Spirit fit into this bit of love. There you go. So it says the love is patient, so we get patience. Love is kind, that's kindness. Love does not envy, so that is being goodness. Love does not boast and is not proud, which is gentleness. Love is not self-seeking and is not easily angered, so we have both self-control and peace. Love rejoices with the truth, so we have joy. Love always protects, always hopes, and always perseveres, which can sum up in faithfulness. And I thought this is a really, really good summary and something that I hadn't necessarily connected before. Once we have a love, we have all the fruit of the Spirit, which is really, really amazing. So although it seems like it's a very big job to love, actually, we have his Spirit with us, and it is through love that we get the rest of these amazing fruits and these amazing gifts. It's through love that we are doing everything, that we, you know, we're pointing people to God, we're showing them God, because, as I said before, God is love. It's who he is, and we are his children, and we are made to be like him, so we are made to love as well. I'm just going to finish with Revelation 21. So again, this is part of the lectionary today as well. And I think it just really, really shows God's love for the whole world. As I started by talking, you know, we can really look around the world and we can see all the brokenness and the hurt and the pain that is there. And I think that is a lot to do with a lack of love. But we know that that's not going to be the end. That one day God, there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. That there's going to be a new creation. Paul talks about it in Romans, I think, where he's saying that creation is groaning for this day when it's going to be made new. And this is just what we look forward to. So he took me in the spirit to a great high mountain, and he showed me the holy city, Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God. I saw no temple in the city, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. And the city has no need of sun or moon, for the glory of God illuminates the city, and the Lamb is its light. The nations will walk in its light, and the kings of the world will enter the city in all their glory. Its gates will never be closed at the end of the day, because there is no night there. And all the nations will bring their glory and honour into the city. Nothing evil will be allowed to enter, nor anyone who practices shameful idolatry and dishonesty, but only those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Then the angel showed me a river with the water of life, clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb. It flowed down the centre of the main street. On each side of the river grew a tree of life, bearing 12 crops of fruit, with a fresh crop each month. The leaves were used for medicine to heal the nations. No longer will there be a curse upon anything, for the throne of God and of the Lamb will be there, and his servants will worship him, and they will see his face, and his name will be written on their foreheads, and there will be no night there, no need for lamps or sun, for the Lord God will shine on them, and they will reign for ever and ever. That is a really amazing description of where we know we will be one day. And I think the most amazing thing about heaven is just that there will just be, there's just going to be constant love, isn't there? There's not going to be anything wrong there. And it's just going to be this amazing time of a love with God and love with one another, and just enjoying that communion together. And we know that it's coming, but we also know that we are the people who can bring his love to the world around us. And we're just going to spend a bit of time reflecting on this now. I have got a song to play, I'll do that. And then you can lead some worship after that as well. And I think there's three parts to this. Yeah, three parts, but the first two are kind of quite similar. I've got my 3 points. So we can spend some time just reflecting on God's amazing love for us. Maybe, you know, we really need to receive his love for ourselves and take on board all these amazing things that God has said about us. That we know that they are true, that we know our true identity as children of the King, that we are loved, that we are honoured, that we are precious, that we are glorious. As I said before, we can't love other people unless we love ourselves. And it's such an important thing to recognise our true identity in God and take on board all of those things. And also maybe there's the third part is looking to love others. Maybe there is thanking people for other people's love, but also looking for places where maybe you recognise that there's a real need for God's love. I've got some hearts down here, so you can take one and you can draw, you can write, you can decorate, you can make declarations, you can do whatever you want. We're doing fingerprints with the children this morning because we're talking about being so precious and valued and being priceless. And as we know, our fingerprints are all unique. So actually, if you just want to decorate one with using your fingerprints and ink pads as well, please do that too. And also, during the worship time earlier, and when I was preparing the talk, I really got a sense of just God wanting to kind of show his love for the world. And I think that he might be releasing people to go and love the world, love people, whether it's in the local community or further afield. And it may be something that you're already doing, but I think there's going to be a new releasing of a new love and a new passion to kind of reignite the things that you're doing or to equip you to go somewhere else. So if you think that might be relevant to you, I'll be over in that corner, so please come over and I would love to pray for you as well. So we're just going to, spend some time just receiving from God, from his love, reflecting on that however you would like to. This is a new Bethel song from the Victory album called Stand in Your Love that we're going to play. And it just talks about, his love being like the firm rock that we're on, and that there is no fear or anything like that in his love as well.